everyone. I'm Shamita Basu from WNYC, filling in for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Christmas is almost here, but I'm sure I didn't have to tell you that. Christmas music has been playing in stores since November. Colorful Christmas lights have been up for weeks, and commercials featuring Santa Claus seem to be on a never-ending loop. But there are millions of people in this country who don't celebrate Christmas, at least not in the traditional sense. We asked you how you celebrate the season in your own way.
Here's the story of why we put a hijab on our Christmas tree.
That's Isabella, a New Yorker who happens to be the roommate of Takeaway associate producer Jivika Verma. This year, she has chosen to decorate her Christmas tree with a hijab.
It's kind of funny because growing up, I did celebrate Christmas in a way, but not necessarily religiously, more so culturally. I grew up in a mixed household of Christian, Pakistani, Muslim beliefs, and my dad never felt completely comfortable being from Pakistan, not celebrating Christmas himself growing up. Never felt comfortable giving presents or decorating the tree, but did so for solidarity of my mother.
Now Isabella lives in a household with other people from the South Asian diaspora, and with political turbulence around the world and especially hostility toward Muslims, she says placing the hijab on the tree demonstrates two things: pride in her upbringing and a kind of solidarity.
So something as simple as putting a hijab on a Christmas tree when everything else is happening all over the globe with the South Asian diaspora trying to disconnect us, trying to separate us, prove that we are different. This putting a hijab on a Christmas tree proves that we are one. And this solidarity and this kindness and this love is, in a way, a form of a little resistance in itself.
All right, so we invited you to tell us how you put your own twist on Christmas, and here's what you shared with us.
Hi, I'm Zach from Portland, Oregon. As a child of divorce, I celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas. For the side of my family that celebrates Hanukkah, I feel like American culture has put an emphasis on gift-giving, but maybe with a spin. While my mom and I exchange a Hanukkah gift and meal every year, my dog got 12 Hanukkah gifts last year.
My name is Colette O'Connor, and I'm from Halifax, Massachusetts. We celebrate Christmas at my home. During the day, we make sure to call all the relatives who can't be here so everyone is thought of. And the remaining day is for sharing gratitude, which we do with a quiet meal together and conversation.
This is Nina Duell from Richmond, California. My reaction to Christmas is unsettled. I do not feel like there's acknowledgement of other people celebrating other things. We're just bombarded with red and white and Christmas trees.
Hi, this is Rick DeMays from Needham, Massachusetts. We enjoy the trappings of Christmas, but we do try to emphasize the significance of the holiday from the religious aspect.
This is Bill in New Jersey. What we do this time of year is something called Friendsmas. It's a lot like Friendsgiving. It's a multicultural winter activity that's specifically non-religious. Basically, it's a night of fun. It's a night of multinational and multi-ethnic foods, and it's time to play games and hang out with the people that you really love.
Thanks for sharing all of your thoughts. I'll share with you now my spin on the holiday. This is my first married Christmas. My husband and I did the thing a few months ago in a non-denominational ceremony. And I was raised in a house that didn't really celebrate Christmas. My dad is Indian and my mom is Iranian. Now, my husband, coming from an Italian family, was and is really big on Christmas. So this year, I added a little flair to our Christmas tree. I strung up our red, gold, and white Indian garlands, the garlands that we exchanged as part of our wedding celebration. I think they make a very fitting addition to our tree this year, and I imagine for years to come. Now remember, you can always give us a call and share your thoughts at 8778-MY-TAKE. Now we'll look at other ways that the Christmas creep influences the whole month of December, namely its impact on another religious holiday. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Days of love, days are eight, days of Hanukkah.
Here here to help us understand the history of how Christmas shaped Hanukkah celebrations in America. We're joined by two guests. Emma Green is a staff writer at The Atlantic, where she covers politics, policy, and religion. Emma, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks so much.
And Jonathan Sarna is a professor of American Jewish history at Brandeis University. Jonathan, thank you for joining us.
A joy to be with you.
Jonathan, many people assume that Hanukkah is one of the most important holidays in Judaism because of its strong cultural presence in the United States, but that's not exactly true, right?
Not exactly true. In early America, you would have a hard time finding much evidence that Jews talked about Hanukkah. The high holidays are important. Passover is very important. Hanukkah really emerges in the 19th century. They talk about, in the 1870s, the revival of the Jewish national holiday of Hanukkah. And gift-giving actually shifts from another holiday, known as Purim, to Hanukkah. And then, of course, Hanukkah is magnified through the 20th century in response to the magnification of Christmas.
And let me let Emma cut in there, because you've written about this as well. Why did Hanukkah become the Jewish response to Christmas in the United States?
You see, in the middle of the 20th century, after the war, when Jews are moving to the suburbs, they're starting these synagogues and trying to join country clubs, and in general have the American experience that we think of so stereotypically in the 1950s. And I think we see that today, where Hanukkah has now been elevated to be kind of the equal and opposite reaction to Christmas, something to give Jewish children a feeling that they can fit in just like the Christian children who are celebrating Christmas at their schools.
How were those efforts met in the United States?
It was common to find Jews. Even Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis had a Christmas tree, and lots of Jews sang secular Christmas carols. It's not surprising that some of those carols were really written by Jews like Irving Berlin, about a white Christmas, the feel of the lights, and so on. But the East European Jews, some of whom had very negative associations with Christmas in the lands that they came from, remembering that these were days when they were frightened and persecuted, they certainly were not going to take on Christmas. And as we move through the 20th century, we see Hanukkah arising as a kind of Jewish answer to Christmas. Indeed, there were some Jews who tried to tell their children, oh, you're so lucky. Hanukkah is 8 days of gifts. But the sense was, let's have something that distinguishes us.
Emma sitting across from me and nodding her head here. How was Hanukkah celebrated before it started to grow in popularity here in the U.S. as a response to Christmas?
Well, one of the interesting things about Hanukkah religiously is that it actually doesn't have that much of a starring role in the Jewish calendar. There aren't that many obligations that go with Hanukkah, and you don't have to spend that much time in synagogue, especially relative to Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah. What's interesting to me about Hanukkah is that it has been able to take this outsized role in the American public imagination, in part because Jews were free to go out and celebrate publicly. They could take their menorah to a friend's house or have friends over to light the candles. But it's also because it's kind of a low-key holiday, and so there's a lot of freedom and flexibility about how people celebrate.
Jonathan, maybe you can talk to us a little bit more about efforts by Jews in the United States early on to adopt Christmas as a secular holiday. Do you think that Hanukkah could become secular in a similar way?
I think that there are many Jews who observe Hanukkah who do not view it as having deep religious content, might even have a hard time talking much about its history. And in that sense, it has grown secularized. But at the same time, I'm very struck by how recent it is that Hanukkah did move into the public square. As late as the 1950s, store windows did not have Hanukkah, even in New York, and you didn't see menorahs out on the streets. That's really a development that begins in the 1970s with the Chabad religious organization, and they actually have several court cases in which they have to fight for the right to have a Hanukkah menorah in the public square. That right is eventually confirmed by the Supreme Court, which really says that the Hanukkah menorah is in a way equivalent, legally speaking, to the Christmas tree. If one can be in the public square, the other can be in the public square.
In fact, Jonathan, I want to jump in here because Emma wrote about this decision, and you found actually that the Supreme Court treated Christmas trees in public a little bit differently than menorahs in public. Is that right?
Well, one of the questions that was at stake here, and there have been a series of cases about this issue, is whether something like the nativity scene, which we see in all sorts of public spaces, is the equivalent of the menorah, whether that can be in a government building or a government-owned park. And there's a sort of differentiation here that the court uses or that legal thinking uses, which is to say there's a difference between some sort of overtly religious symbol that seems to be an expression of what the government believes or supports versus these communal symbols that we now see ubiquitously even at, you know, a courthouse building or at a government administrative building. You see that kind of equality and equal weight given to something that shows a public expression of what these various groups in the United States celebrate at this time.
I feel like there's a lot of hand-wringing over the commercialization of the holidays, whether that's Christmas or Hanukkah. How would you say that gift-giving has or has ever been part of the tradition of Hanukkah?
One universal principle that I think guides Christmas and Hanukkah and maybe even holiday celebrations around this time for families that don't celebrate those two holidays is that we love consumer capitalism here in the United States. And right now, at this season, we see from every corner, stores and malls, everyone trying to incentivize more and more gift giving. And this is something that's lamented seasonally. Everyone trying to say, oh, these holidays should have a deeper meaning about family or about faith, not about gift giving. But really, in American culture, we see that this all-consuming force, this incentive to buy stuff, especially for your kids, has been able to take over these holidays. So in some ways, even though Hanukkah has been set apart as a separate holiday for separate people, there really is a lot that's overlapping about Hanukkah and Christmas.
We've been talking mainly about what happens when Jewish populations from other parts of the world first came to America and were attempting to assimilate. But are there other examples of people from other religions, other faiths, coming to America and sort of adapting their practices to the American Christmas culture? Jonathan?
Another example of this is what we've seen with Diwali as a festival of lights celebrated in this season of the year. And there are other groups, I think, that have learned from Jews that you can simultaneously be part of the season and apart from it, which is really what I think the Jewish community has tried to do over the last decades.
Emma, I feel like we've spent a lot of this conversation framing this as if only negative things have come out of the Christmasification of other holidays. But what are the positive effects? Is it good for all of us in the U.S. to share celebrations at this time of year?
You know, I think the story of Christmas is a very American story in the sense that, as we've been discussing, it's become a shared celebration that has a lot of secular meaning and takes over our shopping malls and our streets. But it's just as much of an American story to have different groups of people, whether their ancestors came over as Jews in the 19th century, to whether their parents and grandparents are recent immigrants from the 70s or 80s or 90s. And I think that's such an American story because in some ways this is a country that's made up of people who come from all of these different places and traditions and who figure out their own spin on those traditions in the American context. There's so much diversity here around this time of year. You see Orthodox Christians who celebrate Christmas a few weeks later than Roman Catholics or Protestants in much of the United States. You see Muslims who have figured out ways like going bowling or trying to avoid shopping malls of relating to the Christmas celebration. And you have a lot of families who are both families. So both Hanukkah and Christmas, or Christmas and a little something else, or Hanukkah and a little something else. All of these stories, to me, are very much the Americanness of this time of year, people trying to figure out how their particular identity should be in relation to this reason for the season that we call Christmas.
Emma Green is a staff writer at The Atlantic, where she covers politics, policy, and religion. And Jonathan Sarna is a professor of American Jewish history at Brandeis University. Thanks to both of you for joining me.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.